Broadcasting live from the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, the Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
All right, we are back and in full stride from the show floor of Training 2015 Conference and Expo. Here for you with Training Pros, host Stoney, what's my name again?
Stone Payton and Lee Cantor, live from the floor, rocking and rolling at Training 2015.
This is going to be a fun segment. We have with us instructional technologist. He works at a nuclear power plant, and his name is Jim Kling. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
So I understand that you have an idea or two about integrating new learners in the workforce with particular respect to millennials. Can you speak to that a little bit, if you would?
Sure. Just to give you a little background, our company is in the process of hiring a lot of new folks in our business. We're an electric utility. We've had a lot of folks that have been around the industry a long time, and it's time for them to retire. And as a result, we've been doing a lot of hiring over the last 4 to 5 years. And if we're doing hiring of new folks, then that involves the hiring of millennials.
So now is it exactly the same training a baby boomer and a millennial? You just approach it exactly the same way?
Absolutely not. they do come from different backgrounds, different approaches. So what we've found is that we've had to modify, and we're still looking at changes we need to make to make the training a little more engaging, a little more interactive, and get everyone playing, because we could have boomers, we could have pre-boomers, we could have Gen X's, and we could have millennials all in the same classroom.
So you have to create kind of an experience that's engaging for each group?
Sure.
That's your challenge, right?
Make it engaging, and also at the end of the day, we're very evaluation-driven. So there's a lot of testing that goes on, both in terms of cognitive skills and also psychomotive skills. So it's kind of involved in terms of coming up with the right evaluation measures and getting everyone on board, getting them through the course, because that's ultimately, we want everybody to be successful.
So at least you don't have retiring millennials. That's what we've been wrestling with at Business Radio X lately. But I can see where it would be a challenge. You're dealing with retiring workers. You've got millennials. You've got information, knowledge that you want to harvest from the folks that have spent so much time and energy in the organization. You want to transfer that. It's got to present some real challenges for the instructional designers. Yeah?
For the designers, yes. And one of the things we're finding from a design standpoint is that I'll throw some statistics at you. So in 2014, our company did about 7,000 pre-employment invites, which means you've already passed a pre-screening to get invited to take some exams that we have prepared for you. And of those, about 41% of those folks actually passed the exam. And the surprising thing was, and what we continue to see, is that where they fail most times is fundamental math skills.
Wow, really?
So now you transfer some of these folks into our workforce at the nuclear facilities, and we have a heavy load on math and science, and we're finding that not all the folks coming into the training programs after passing all the rigorous requirements to get into our organization, now we find out they have some deficits when it comes to basic math and science. And as a result, we've had to tailor some of our courses that in the past, 15, 20 years ago, this was the routine. It's not the routine anymore. So it requires additional work on the instructor's parts to help these folks be successful.
Now, is that a situation where you're able to kind of lean on some of the local colleges to help you with this remedial math?
We don't lean on them so much in terms of directing them that way. We kind of do it the other way around. We've set up some programs with one of the junior colleges in the area to help set up a course design
that's tailored to your needs, right?
Correct.
That'll give them the skills that'll allow them to work in your environment?
Correct. And so hopefully from those folks, they work through a lot of the math and science deficits that we see from some of the other folks coming in. But, I mean, even folks in this work industry now, you see folks get out of college and maybe they don't necessarily get a job in their field that they'd gone for right away. And they've been away from the books and doing different things for a couple of years. And now they've decided, hey, I want to go back into the technical side, and that's where we get them, and then find out that we got to knock some of the rust off.
So there's a difference in content, or content you didn't necessarily realize early on that you were going to have to go back and deliver. But even the content that you knew you were going to have to deliver, did you discover that you have to deliver it in a different way or on a different platform or in a different sequence? Or?
Well, I think that is the challenge instructor to instructor. I can't say that as a general rule, these are the changes we needed to incorporate to help them be successful. It's more about it challenges the instructors based on the needs in that class. And I guess it's really not that different from what instructors do most days, right? Is that it's about knowing your audience, working with those folks, helping them to be successful. The hard part for some of the instructors is, well, we thought maybe this basic algebra would be, we're going to spend a couple hours on this morning just kind of reviewing, and we'll move along. And that basic algebra review turned into a day and a half based on the needs of the classroom.
And that's something that you have to adapt the training for, right? So now you know the next time that you got to spend a day and a half on algebra.
Correct. So what we've learned is from some of the initial training we've been doing in some of our programs over the last couple of years, we've already built some extra time in to compensate for that. But then again, it all depends on the hiring. We might get a group of 10 people in a classroom and find out that, hey, we expected to spend some extra time on basic math, and that's not the issue. Now we're working on maybe they're having a problem with some sciences that we need to work at.
Right, so and then you can go deeper in that.
Correct.
Right, so you got to be able to flex to the skills of the learner.
Correct. And again, it's the challenge for the instructors, and I can say they do a great job of they go home at night, they sharpen their pencils, they come up with some more ideas, they come in the next day. At the end of the course, everybody has to have the same basic level of knowledge exiting that course as opposed to what they came in with. So we just got to get them up to that level, and then that's where our continuing training programs work in, where we can then sharpen those skills further. Plus, certainly going back on the job and applying those skills always helps.
So if you're going to be an instructor this day and age, and certainly for the organization that you're with and in that arena, you have to have a great deal of flexibility and recognize that the class may be called the same thing this week or this month, but it may be a very different class than what I taught last week.
Absolutely.
And that's just part of it. That's just, you're buying into that if you're gonna take this on.
And that means it's also challenging the instructor skill sets, because now you've got, like we talked earlier, you've got millennials coming into the classroom, and they're used to having a very interactive, very dynamic presentation, or they're up for having smart boards, social media, that kind of stuff going on in the classroom. And then they walk in and they say, where's all the tablets? Where's all the? What do you mean I can't have my cell phone on while
Here's
we're talking?
Here's a slate,
here?
XB over Y3.
I got your abacus over here.
Right. So there's a little bit of shock going on there sometimes from the learner standpoint, and we're having to adapt too. A lot of companies in our business now have integrated tablets into the classroom, and for some companies, it's just a matter of being able to, hey, this is accepting what the workforce is bringing you in terms of their skills and what they're looking for, and how are you going to modify the tools that you have for those folks.
Now, are you experimenting with like a bring your own device where they're able to use their own devices?
We have not done that yet. What we're finding is that there's kind of a double-edged sword working around nuclear power plants. We have to be careful in terms of the technology that we bring inside the building in terms of security,
right.
Cybersecurity. So we're still trying to work, at least for our company, we're still trying to work through with our information technology folks to be a little more broad-based in our thinking about the tools that we can bring into the classroom. Yet I recognize their perspective. Their job is to make sure they're creating a safe environment so that we don't get hacked, we don't have any other security issues as a result of equipment we're bringing into the fence.
So your career path, always done this kind of thing, or did you start off at Broadway and then you decided to make a shift, or what?
Well, I had quite a varied background, I'll say that. I started out in a junior college wanting to be a teacher, and I took a heavy load on psychology courses because I wanted to go work with kids that were handicapped. And what I found out is that I wasn't the only person at that time that wanted to get into that field, and it became very competitive very quickly. As a result, I wound up going into the Navy for a while. I went through the nuclear Navy program, and then after getting out from the Navy, that's where the opportunities opened up for me in terms of working at nuclear power plants.
And they know how to teach folks in the Navy, don't they? They've got some ideas about how to exchange information.
They got training down pretty well, right?
It was a very different experience for me because I'd never been through training that was so targeted, especially coming from an academia type situation where it's more about here's our information, you figure it out a little bit, we'll help you, we'll guide you through it. You're right, the military has very targeted training techniques and they want you to learn X amount of information and you will learn that information before you leave or you won't be successful.
Now, do you find yourself leaning on some of their techniques?
Let's see.
Well, because you have your background so varied, you've seen it all. Like
he can, you can draw on a lot, can't you, from different things?
That's the main thing. It's more knowing what tools to use at the right time. Whereas I would say the experience I had going through the military was a very prescriptive program. Everybody got the same amount of information in pretty much the same way, and it was more on the individual to be successful in the program. And if you couldn't be successful, then there's somebody else knocking at the door to come in behind you. Mm-hmm. Whereas our companies these days recognize the investment it takes both on the people coming in and the utilities themselves for them to get there. Everyone's got some skin in the game, and what can we do to make everybody successful? How can we help them? And again, it falls back on the instructors again, being able to modify their approaches to work with the folks that are coming in.
How's your algebra?
My algebra is pretty good. I think I can do a couple quadratic equations if we could sit here and think it through for a moment.
So this week, how have you invested your time here at the conference? What was your objective coming in, and what have you spent your time?
Well, my main focus here was everybody's always looking for new ideas when it comes to training techniques, and I think the more exposure you get to different folks trying different things, chances are that's where you're going to pick up the lulies here and there to help you get with your improve your game. And so I came here looking to pick up some different techniques and see if I can bring them back to where I'm at and share them with the folks that I train.
All right, so we've talked about millennials. I'd like to ask, are there any other workforce challenges, trends that we all need to be cognizant of and be preparing for, in your opinion?
Workforce trends. Give me a little help with that one.
Are there other challenges? So we have retiring workforce, so we know we're hiring millennials. Are there other workforce challenges that we ought to be
getting ready for? Yeah, like what's keeping you up at night?
Yeah.
Well, I would say that, for one, because of the newer folks we've got coming into our industry, we probably don't work the same way that maybe some other jobs they've had work. For example, we're a 24/7 operation making electricity. So that means you need to be available day and night a lot of times, especially if you're, say, you're an engineer with some expertise and the folks that are operating the plant need some help. You may get a call at 2 in the morning. And
the smarter you are, the more accessible you need to be. Is that the deal?
Some people think that they can turn off their job. Some jobs you can be done at 5 o'clock.
Because some jobs are like that, but not any at gym shop.
Yeah, I'd say that you have to be prepared to come in and help when you need to. And for especially the newer folks, that's a little different concept. It's I think they're more on the work-life balance. Hey, I don't want to be getting calls at 2 o'clock in the morning. And, in fact, maybe 8 hours might be a little bit of a stretch today. So you
got to choose wisely in your recruiting and hiring, huh?
Or you got to hire two of them so they can make up 8 hours.
And they work together. We'll each give them half pay. That works. But that's probably one of the biggest challenges. And we have seen people leave the organization as a result of this wasn't quite what I signed up for.
Right, it wasn't the right fit. It's better to know early than late, right?
Absolutely. And that's the right thing to do. I mean, if you're not happy in doing your job, then it's time to find something else to do.
Well, and who knew you couldn't wear Birkenstocks in the plant,
really.
You know?
and it's funny because we have seen examples with particularly newer folks coming in where we said, hey, the training starts at 7:30 in the morning. And they come rolling in about 10 to 8 and say, hey, well, sorry, I got hung up getting my job this morning. And those folks have a quick reawakening, or they do have the opportunity to find other employment.
Yeah, Stone says it's freeing up your future.
That's right. And it is funny because there is a, you know, they truly, I don't think they believe they were doing anything wrong by doing that. That's just what I've always done.
Or right.
You're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy.
All right, Jim, before we wrap, let's leave our listeners with a tip or two about working with millennials, helping our retiring folks exit, a do, a don't, something that you've learned that you'd like to pass on.
Well, I think for the millennials, their learning is that learning is a lot of times adapting to the environment. And in our case, maybe it's a little different than the environment they were used to in college or in high school. So the efforts they put in as we try and help them pay off for them. For the retirees, a lot of times people that are retiring, they may be retiring, but they're not getting out of the workforce yet. They're just looking for a change of venue.
Uh-huh.
So they also are, I think, have the same types of challenges. What skill sets do I need to learn to still be marketable and to enjoy employment elsewhere, even if it's on a part-time basis moving forward?
All right. Jim Kling, thanks so much for visiting with us, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me here.
All right. We'll be back in a few from the show floor of Training 2015. Conference and Expo.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.